so beautiful in the church. Everybody looks so holy here. We look so nice and good, fresh. Some people only bathe on Sundays. You come to Sunday, nice looking good, fresh. Then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, it goes down. I will pour water on thirsty land and streams on the dry ground, and I will pour my spirit, upon all your offspring and my blessing upon your descendants. They shall spring among the grass as willows by flowing streams. And one will say, I am the Lord. The other will say, I come from the in the name of Jacob. And the other will write on his hand, the Lord's, and name themselves by the name of Israel. The Lord is encouraging us, do not be afraid. Israel, Jeshurun, the righteous one. Do not be afraid. You know, sometimes we're scared. And when we were worshiping, and I was feeling that something is just bottled up and it needs to come out. We know who God is. We know what we need to do, but something is just bottled up. It just needs to come out. Break free. God wants to come out. Jesus is inside. I always feel I'm pregnant, not because of my tummy, but because I just feel that the Spirit is living in me. It just gives me those goosebumps all the time. And I just feel, wow, I wish. As David said, I want to see the living God, the face of God. It's amazing, but it has its consequences. It will change you. You will not be the same if you encounter God in the real way. Wow. I love this. We had a beautiful time at the retreat. We are all the leaders. And I say again, it's not about the leaders. We are the chief servants. Leadership is about foot washing. It's about going and serving and loving and embracing and encouraging, equipping. Leadership is not a tag. I am. No, he is. It's not I am. The evangelist. I am. I love this. Helping people live as God intends. This is the newsletter. This is on the newsletter. Welcome to Hills Church. Helping people live as God intends. Can we just say this? Helping people. Come on, say helping people. Live as God intends. Can we make it help me God to live as you intend. As you intend. Now that is the key. If we will know how we ought to live, we can tell others how they should live. If I'm messed up, I'll give a messed up message to people. I'll say, welcome to my mess. Welcome to my messed up life. I don't honor God, but I speak a lot about Jesus. I'm posting on the Facebook day and night, Jesus is the Lord. But I don't live that in my real life. I'm different. So welcome to my group. Now, we first need to learn, because there's something prophetically happening in this church. If you realize, if you are praying, then you would know this church is changing. Come on, can we thank the Lord? Yeah, this church is going to change. I'm excited. Come on, this church needs to say yes and amen. And don't miss a chance to say amen. Amen. Never miss a chance to say amen. Say amen. Shout and say amen. Amen. You know, there was this steam engine. And they were trying to push the engine. The engine was not going. It wasn't moving. And this inspector came and said, why is it not moving? Where's the water? Is the water in there? He said, sir, yes, the water is there. It's not boiling. There is water in the engine, but it is not boiling. We need to stoke up the heat. Yeah. The heat. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You need to do it. It's the time now. We are singing something like never again. Something that the song was beautiful. Never again. What we have never seen, we are going to see at the hills in our lives. God, what is revival? Revival is when the steam engine works as it is intended to work. It's revival. There could be a lot of water in the engine. There could be enough fuel in the engine, but if there's no fire, there's no revival. My very good friend Jim and Carol, they have been so kind hosting us in their house. And I saw the other day, Jim, what was that mixer? Huh?
The grinder,
yeah. And he's such an excellent person. He just took the grinder and opened the grinder. It wasn't working. It was dead. The grinder was dead. And he just took it out, started opening it, and there was some icy, I am not a technical person, some part of the grinder was dead, and he went into the garage. Yay, I found it. And he found the part, and then he fixed the grinder, and lo, the vegetables were churning inside. There was something happening, just a little part. A small part of the grinder went kaput and the whole grinder was dead. A small piece. Sometimes one small offense in the church can take the whole church down. A one small sin can bring the whole, can make a hole in the anointing. And the whole church can go down. Sometimes we feel, oh, I'm not important. Glenn can do it. Mike will do it. He will do it. I won't do it. But the Lord says, I want to use you. Everybody in the church is important. Lift up your hand and say, I'm important. Say, I'm important. You well know you're important, but do you know that your neighbor is important as well? Tell your neighbor you are important. Say you are important to this church. Yes, yes, we all are important. Tell your neighbor you are important. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Rick is important. Lauren is important. Carolyn is important. I see all the, you know, I see Hannah working so hard. She's working so hard and she's just handling those things beautifully in the church. She's important. I even see her cleaning the floor. She's important. Wow, Jared. God has given him giftings. The word of God says, James 1 and 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Deceiving. When we hear the word and don't do, we are deceiving ourselves. And we have been deceiving ourselves for a long time. I'm a Christian because I am a member. This membership will not take you to heaven. Your membership will not take you to heaven. Your relationship with Jesus will take you to heaven. Amen. Amen. What did he say?
Preach it.
Praise God. Deceiving yourselves, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way. He just comes to the church and goes his way. Yeah, nice. How was the worship? Good. It was nice. I fell down. Everybody's on the floor falling down. Jesus didn't say fall down. He said get up and walk. That is revival. Falling down is not revival. Getting up and walking with the Lord is revival. Somebody say amen to that. Somebody say amen to that. But whosoever looketh into a perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Amen? So the bottom line, revival is God's people doing what God teaches them to do in his word. Amen? Revival simply means back in action. God wants this church to be back in action. God wants the Hills Church to be back in action. Are you ready for the action? Are you ready to be action? Or you want some more sleep for a few more years? Should we just sleep and just say, okay, not now, Jesus? You know, sometimes I feel this 30 minutes word is too less, but I'm going to compress it anyways. But, you know, sometimes the attitude is that even if Jesus is preaching, we will walk out after 30 minutes because we got our appointments fixed. But that's not the way it is. God, we cannot dictate God. God will dictate us. And that is the God plan of life. And I believe that I was asking God, what should we do as a church? Now, it's not, again, I'm reiterating, it's not about us. It's about all of us, the whole church. The whole team, we all are the A team. We all are the members of the body of Christ. We all are his members. If somebody is the head, somebody is the eye, somebody is the knee, somebody is the toe, somebody is the ears, and we all are part of the same body of Christ. And this body has to now get up because Jesus come. Jesus said, you come first. Come with your hearts. Come with surrendered hearts. Offer your bodies as a living. Sacrifice. Offer your bodies as a living. Shout, offer your bodies as a living. We want fire. Fire will not be there without a sacrifice. Where there is sacrifice, there is fire. It's not a formula that we can say, oh, this song after this song and this thing and that thing and that thing and then there will be fire. No. The fire of God is something more intense. Something more deep, something more holy, that you need to seek God. Moses was 40 years in wilderness, then he found God. You want to do it in 40 minutes? This has to be a life of a consecrated life, a life that is ready to burn for Jesus. Amen? Is it not written that my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations? And that's what, when the first meeting, when the first prayer that myself, Rena, Judy, and Glenn, we prayed, this was the heart, that this house will be a house of prayer for all nations, every tongue, every tribe, and every nationality. We need to have 200 flags in this church from every nation. I can see it. Can you see it? Yes. I want to see that. Every flag of every nation in this church. It's not about Indians. It's not just about Kiwis. It's not just about Chinese. It's about everybody. God did not die for this building. He died for you and me. Jesus did not give his life for brick and mortar. He gave his life for us. And that will come when we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. The knees of the church, it has to be a praying church. It has to be a church that prays day and night. Remind yourself, it's not a cafe. It's not just about the cafe. Sometimes you put these great programs, cafes and this and billiards. No, it's a house of prayer. It's good to have those things. I'm not against those things, but it's the most important thing is prayer. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn their wicked and turn from their wicked ways. It's me. When I read the word, it's all about me. I need to turn from my ways every day. It's not just, you know, it's very easy to preach, but your wife will know how you are. My wife knows. She will know, oh, he's a liar. What he's preaching, he doesn't practice in the house. My kids will know, oh, my dad is such an actor. Now, I have to live that life and also be an example to my family. An example of holiness. It's not a profession. I'm not a pastor by profession. It's my passion. It's not a job. It's not a 20 hours a week. No. It is 365 days a year. It's not about... Jesus was working on the Shabbat day as well. It was the passion of Christ to save the souls, and it has to be the passion of our church to save every single person on the streets. Come on. Hallelujah. So we have to be men of prayer, lifting up holy hands, separated, consecrated Christians, without wrath. This revival thing is so funny. I know this pastor who was praying for a revival, and the prayer was pretty getting draggy. And then someone gets up from the church and says, Pastor, this revival will not come. I have a confession to make. And Pastor said, why? What happened? Actually, I hate few people in this church. And you are trying to bring a revival, but this hatred of mine is short-circuiting the whole thing. That's a short circuit. Give me a minute before I pray. I want to go and shake hands with that person and ask forgiveness. And when he said that, he went and shook hands with that person. And there was a little sob in the church. And everyone started weeping. And people started going and talking to each other to reconcile. And reconciling is a courageous thing. You need courage. You need anointing. Jesus never hated anyone. He did not even hate those who were crucifying him. We hate people for small and petty reasons. Doctrines. I am better than you stuff. And we don't agree on things. But all those things are a deterrent, an anti-revival ingredients. Are you ready to love people? Can you forgive? Can we all forgive each other? Okay, let's do a 15 days challenge. For the next 15 days, we don't hate anyone. We have no grievance against anyone. We just say, Lord, this is my family, and I love everyone. Amen? You see the difference. Even in your house, at workplace, everywhere, wherever you go, society, in every place, if we start loving people, there will be a revival. People hate their spouse. Oh, my God. No, she's your friend. He's your friend. Pray for each other. Love each other, and you will see that God will move in a mighty way, even in your personal lives. I'm always prompted to say, Yeshu Masih ki jai. In your personal lives, Yeshu Masih ki. I go. Yeshu Masih ki jai is an expression, a Hindi expression when you say, glory be to Jesus. Yeshu Masih ki. Say jai. Yeshu Masih ki. Jai. Oh, jai means victory. I am more than a victor in Jesus. So brother, forgive me, for if I have sinned against you, that will bring a revival in the church. That will bring a revival in your prayer life. Please point me out when I'm running late, because I am normally not looking at the watch. So please tell. Oh, that is there. Okay. Revival needs prayer. Revival needs the Bible. You cannot have a revival without the Bible. You cannot have the revival without the Word of God. It cannot be a soulish revival. It has to be a spiritual revival. And the Word of God is spirit and truth. Amen? You say, come, Jesus, come, speak to me. He will speak to you through the Word of God. He will speak to you even through many other ways. But the main source, the way the Lord speaks to you, is the Word of God. That is, sometimes we don't give Bible the importance that it should have. We keep the Word of God. You can pray, but if you don't have the fuel that is the Bible, the Word of God, your prayers are like empty prayers, because you definitely need God's guidance into your prayer. The Scriptures, the Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for the doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Hallelujah. So God speaks through His Word. His Word has to be desired, studied, and practiced. You have to desire the Word of God. You have to study the Word of God, and we have to practice the Word of God. And when we practice the Word of God, you will know what is, you will have a spirit of discernment. You know, in India, the cashiers, the tellers, and the banks are very smart. They can tell the fake note from the real note because they have been shown the real notes too many times, and they have observed it and seen it. So whenever the moment they see a fake note, they know this is not the real one. And if you read the Word of God and you're embedded and you're properly founded in the Word of God, you will know what is the right thing and what is the fake stuff. So you will have the spirit of discernment, because the Word of God will teach you so that the man of God is perfect. Amen? Word of God is quick and powerful. My words are life, Jesus said, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Wow. The Word of God also says, go to the ends of the earth and preach the gospel. You know, we are living in exciting times. We don't have to really now go to the ends of the earth and preach the gospel. The nations of the earth are now at the doorsteps here in Auckland. God is bringing these nations to our doorstep. All we have to do is go about a couple of miles here and there. And what God is doing at Hills is supernatural. This is not a natural move of God. Honestly, the way we got the visas, it was we were praying. They said it is going to take 9 months, and we got it in 2 weeks. That was supernatural. That was supernatural. That was not man's doing. That was God's plan, because God wants us to be here. And I really thank you all for standing behind us and helping us and being in this vision and buying the vision and reaching out to the people here. We need to go to the ends, and the ends are nearby. They're just close by, because God has created that atmosphere around us that we can now do it. God has enabled and He has kind of made it easy for us. You know, get the house. This is a beautiful testimony of our house. We just got the house miraculously. We were looking for a house, and I was telling God, I don't have enough money to buy all the stuff. Now we have a house which has got everything in it. Fridge, fridge, dishwasher, beds, even the cutlery has been provided. This is the move of God. I see it as God's providence for us, so that we can actually get into the house and start working for the Lord. This house is not given to us to sleep and rest and enjoy. What a beautiful rainy day. Let's have chai. It's just to go and put our head there and sleep and prepare to serve the Lord. God has given you everything to serve Him. He has given you everything to serve Him, to reach out and to bless people. You know, the radio, there's a beautiful testimony that we were trying to get a radio slot, a radio program, and we were trying to negotiate. And the other day we went, and we just went there, and they said, oh, it's 15 minutes, $1,000. I said, oh my God, $1,000 for 15 minutes? We surely can't afford this. Too much for us to afford as a church. So we started praying, and we said, God, give us a breakthrough. They have come down to $150 for 30 minutes. $150 for 30 minutes. And this is something amazing because this will be the first kind of a program on radio to reach out to the Indian and the Fiji and here and wherever the Lord is going to take us for missions. This will be an amazing tool. And God has given it. God is giving us things. God is showing us the way. He said, you take one step and I will take you. And I will enable, I will open the doors. God is amazing. I'm telling you, in this church, everyone is an evangelist. Everyone. It's not about Anil and Reena. Yes, we are here. It just doesn't take a lot of programs and seminars to become an evangelist. Peter and John, they said, we can't stop but talking about the Lord because we are filled. We have seen the glory of God. If you see his glory, you will just open up. It's like a naba. It's like a well that will open up. The word for prophet is naba, nabuvat in Hebrew. Naba means something that just opens up and starts overflowing. Nabuvat. And when we experience God on a daily basis, we start speaking and prophesying. 12 people. Can you imagine 12 people? 12 disciples. Thomas came to India. He didn't go for any program. He didn't go to any seminar. He just went. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, yes, I will go. I will even die for Jesus. It's not about training. You're already trained. You have the word of God. You have, if you love God, you just can't hold your tongue. Amen. Leo and Brenda. Hey, there you go. Please stand up. Yeah, Brenda. Wow. She doesn't even understand Hindi, no English, no Punjabi, no Gujarati, no Kiwi. Huh? English, okay. But you came for the Ruki Barish? Leo. Yeah, so it's not language. God is a spirit. And we can see a beautiful testimony here of someone being touched not by the language, not by the skills, not by power, not by might, but only by the Spirit of God. Shall we clap? We have two precious daughters here, Rachel and Jesse. Can you just stand up? We just met them the other day, and we welcome you to the Hills Church. She doesn't know my language. We don't know their language. We just spoke and we just prayed, and I think there was a language itself in prayer, and that God spoke to them. And God just touched their hearts. It is love. Thank you. It's love. Have you seen people falling in love? They don't know each other's language. They will fall in love. I love you. I love you. That's it. Then they start learning. I know such couples who don't India, there's so much diversity, they don't even know each other's language, yet they fall in love. And I say, how did they fall in love? Because love has no language, because God is love. If God wants to touch you, he will touch you. God has taken us to 40 countries, more than 40 nations. And we know the language. Indonesia, I can speak Indonesian now, but it's not about language. God will take you. When you go and you open your mouth, I'm telling you, God will speak for you. The Holy Spirit is going to open your mouth, and you are just going to, all you need is the courage to go. All you need is an experience with the Holy Ghost. Say, Lord, just fill me. Give me the boldness. Give me the boldness of Peter and John. Give me the boldness of Paul. Give me the boldness of Moses. Give me the boldness. These are the days of Elijah. These are the days when God will just open. I'm telling you, I'm here. That is a part of my job, to train you all and to equip you all so that you will do what God intends you to do. It's not a comfortable Christianity. Peter, before the Pentecost, was by the fire, and after the Pentecost, he was on fire. We are by the fire, beautiful fireplaces in the house. Ooh, nice. But God wants us to be on fire. Peter was fishing fish. Jesus said, don't fish fish. I'll make you a fisher of men. Because the fish you catch, they will die. The moment you bring them out of the water, they die. They finish. They're done. They're exhausted. But you are going to do a reverse fishing. People dead in sin, they will come out and become alive. It's a reverse fishing. And that is the anointing on the hills now. Jesus had 12 disciples. And we are more than 12 here. And I want to encourage you and challenge you today. And we are showing this movie on the 28th of July. We are going to be on radio. I'll show you the pamphlet. It's with me here. Without Rena, I'm nothing. Oh, it's on the screen. Okay. There you go. Special movie screening, 28th of July, free entry. Please take the flyers and invite someone. Invite maybe somebody in your neighborhood. Go and find. And don't worry, it doesn't have to be Indian. It can be anyone. Say, come for the film. Yesterday we met, we were in the which mall? I always say, huh? Lin Mall. You're on my tongue, Glen Mall. I love you so much. Yesterday we were in Glen Mall. Glen Donald's. Shall we just appreciate Glenn and Judy for what they're doing? They're beautiful, wonderful men. Amazing, amazing. Shall we? Yes. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. I'm learning from you. And we want to serve God together. We want to worship God together. And I humble myself to each and every person that we will show a mind of Christ and a Christ-like behavior so that this church will increase, not I increase, not Glenn increase, not Josh increase, not Stuart increase, but Jesus increase. And I invite you to become partners in this beautiful commission that the Lord has given us. It's not 12, more than 12. And I want you to lift up your hand and say, I want to reach out. If you want to reach out, I want you to lift up your hand and say, I want to reach out.